Well, this morning, as my lesson and as you look in the bulletin, we're talking about, are you paying attention? Looks like we're having a little bit of difficulty here, so you'll have to bear with me, but a few months ago, I was in Florida at a funeral, and then after the funeral, then two of my friends decided to take me to the airport. So we was on the way to the airport, Joe Palmer and Fred Taylor, and about 15 minutes into the ride, he says to me, he says, where are we going? And Joe says, well, we're going to the airport. And Fred says, well, this is not the way to the airport. And so all of a sudden, there's three of us in the car, and we all know we're going to the airport. But we're all going to different airports. And that's the epiphany that I had. Now, I use that word epiphany because I don't know what the definition of it is, but I just thought I'd put it out there to impress you, okay? So I had this epiphany, and I began to realize that that's the way it is in Christendom, that many of us believe that we're going to heaven, but then when I ask the question, how are you getting there? I get different answers. And that's what we see in the reading that we was looking at this morning. And Mark, did he not do a great job in that reading? I tell you what, I love my brother Mark. He done a great job. Well, as we look at the lesson, again, in your bulletin, in the outline, it says, are you paying attention? Well, now that's interesting because, you know, when I was growing up, that would be something my folks would be asking me. Are you paying attention? They'd say to me, says, if I told you once, I've told you 100 times. Or they might say to you, do I have to keep repeating myself? Or you might say, how many times do I need to tell you? And that's exactly what we see in the lesson today. I got my slides. Oh, there we go. Look at there. Is God good or what? All right. So as we continue to look here, we have, I know that He will raise again in the resurrection at the last day. That's a comment that that Martha had made to Jesus. Well, what's the point? What's the question? Well, the question is how well do you understand the story of Lazarus and of the disciples? As we continue to look at chapter 11, verse 1, we see here, as we've already read, that that Lazarus is sick. We have then Mary and Martha, who then in verse 3, then send word, or go and send word to Jesus, that the one whom he loves is sick. But then we learn that Jesus turns around and says, the purpose of the whole thing is to glorify God and that the Son of God may be glorified. That's what the whole purpose is of what Jesus is doing. And that's a key in our lesson this morning. So, as we continue, and he's having a discussion with his disciples, Jesus tells them that Lazarus is asleep. And what's interesting then, in verse 12, then the disciples say, well, Lord, if he sleeps, then he will get well. Well, then Jesus then says very plainly he's dead. All right? Says he's dead. But they were still thinking that he's asleep. Well, as we continue on down through chapter 11, we get then to verse 15. And it says there, now this is interesting because Jesus is speaking very boldly. He says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there at the time that Lazarus died. And he says, that you may believe. Now earlier, the first slide I showed where Martha says, I know, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. There's a difference in knowing and believing. than Thomas. And I want you to remember this man, Thomas, because we're going to talk about him a little bit later. But Thomas gets very bold. And Thomas says, well, let us also go that we may die with him. So there's old Thomas puffing himself up. You know, we're going to do this. But then we learn that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Then as we come on down to verse 21, we have Martha then, as Jesus comes into the area and says, well, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Okay? But as we continue on in chapter 11, looking at verse 23, then Jesus is speaking to Martha and says to her that her brother will raise again. But what's interesting is her response. She doesn't really seem to be paying attention to what Jesus says. And she says, I know that he will raise again in the resurrection at the last day. So Jesus is going to clarify this whole situation. Now, something that you need to understand, we're talking about the last week of Jesus, all right? Also, we understand that Jesus has been with these people for about 3 years. And in this three-year period, he's done many signs and wonders and miracles. And so you would think that they would understand that this is not an ordinary person. And yet, as we continue on, he says to Martha, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he goes on to say that he who believes, not know, believes. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes, not know, believes in me, shall never die. And then he asked her a very direct question. Do you believe this? In other words, he's saying, just like your parents would say to you, are you paying attention? If I told you once, I've told you 100 times. Do I have to keep repeating myself? How many times do I need to tell you? Do you believe this? Now, remember the context here, because Martha evidently is not listening to him. Because listen to what she says. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That's not what he's talking about. All right? But let's continue on. And James happens to be the brother of Jesus. And this is the whole point of what we're trying to get at here. But if someone will say to you, you have faith or have belief, and I have works, show me your faith or your belief without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works, or I'll show you my belief by my works. And so that's the whole point of what we're looking at here in chapter 11. There's a difference in what we know and what we believe. This world of Christendom knows a lot. There's many of us in the church here that know a lot. But do you believe what you know? Because in James says if you believe it, you're going to put action to it. If you believe it, you're going to do something. There's a difference in believing and knowing. And so, we have where Jesus comes onto the scene, Jesus comes onto the scene, and then Mary, just like Martha, Mary then says to him in about verse 32, says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same exact thing that Martha just said. And then as we continue on, Jesus, then groans in his spirit and was troubled. Then in verse 35, it says he wept. Now, in the scriptures, you keep on reading, it says, and the people said, see how he loved him. That's not why he's weeping. The reason why he's weeping is because he said at the very beginning, I come to glorify God, and that the Son of God may be glorified. And as we've been going through this whole process, he keeps talking about him being the resurrection and the life. And they keep somehow going somewhere else with this whole subject. And so as we continue on in chapter 11, we have then Jesus in verse 38 again moaning within himself because of this misunderstanding that's going on with his disciples. He's been with them for 3 years. They've seen many signs and wonders and miracles, and yet they don't get it. So then Jesus in verse 39 says, "Take away the stone." Now listen to what Martha says. Listen to what Martha says. Martha says, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." He just got through telling her just a while ago, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he will raise." And then he turns right around and he says in verse 40, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe," not know, "if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" In other words, what he said to her was, "Have I told you once? I've told you 100 times. Do I need to keep repeating myself? How many times do I need to tell you?" That's what he's saying here to Mary and Martha and the disciples. "Did I not say to you that you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And then Jesus takes the opportunity there with all these witnesses to pray in their presence. And he turns around and he says, "Father," let me find myself, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people, who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe," not know, "but that they may believe that you sent me." And then he cries out and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And lo and behold, Lazarus comes forth. He's still in his grave clothes, still has the cloth over his face. He then says, "Loose him." Well, as we come to chapter 12, verse 1, we see them 6 days before Passover. They're having a supper. And there at the supper, we see that Mary then gets some oil. And it says there, she has a pound of oil of spikenard. She's anointing the feet of Jesus. Judas Iscariot gets a bit upset about that. And Judas then says to her, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And Jesus then responds then to Judas in verse 7, "Leave her alone." And he goes on to say, "She has kept this for my burial." In other words, what's he saying? Are you paying attention? Have I told you once? I've told you 100 times. Do I have to keep repeating myself? That's what he's saying. Well, the next day we have a great multitude coming together because Jesus is coming in Jerusalem. And why are they coming together? For 3 years he's been doing signs and wonders and miracles. And just a few hours ago he raised Lazarus. That's why this multitude is coming together. And Jesus now is coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. And they're laying these palm branches and everything down at the feet of the donkey as Jesus is coming in. And we have him crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." The great jubilation. Again, I remind you, we're in the last week of Jesus. We have this great jubilation. And they call him the Lord, the Master. They call him the King of Israel. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But then, as we continue on, Jesus then speaking to all of these people, he then uses a parable, if you may, and he says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. But then he explains himself as we come on down here to verse 33. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. He has been telling them for 3 years about this. And he continues to tell them. And again, I remind you, we're in the last week of Jesus, all this great jubilation. Jesus is the Lord. He's the King of Kings. But we continue on, and we see in chapter 18, we start to learn about his betrayal. And we learn about his arrest. All prophesied in the book of Isaiah. We come to chapter 19, and we learn then about his crucifixion. What a difference a week makes, all right? Do I need to remind you of what we just went through in chapter 11 and 12? Well, in chapter 20, and starting in verse 1, we find them together on the first day of the week. We've already been discussing the first day of the week, the significance, the importance of it. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. We find then Mary Magdalene going to the tomb early in the morning. She then gets to the tomb, and she finds it empty. And then she runs and finds Simon Peter and the disciples. And then she says, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know. We do not know where they have laid him. Have you not been listening? How many times do I have to tell you? Do I have to keep repeating myself? She's not obviously heard a word of what Jesus is saying. And so what's the disciples do? Well, they go running to the tomb, and sure enough, she's right. He's not there. Well, as we continue on in chapter 20 and verse 6, we see Simon Peter then following John. It says following him, following John. And in verse 8, it says the other disciple, again speaking about John. And then John comes to the tomb first, and then he sees and he believes. And then the question is why didn't he believe to begin with? But it wasn't until after he gets to the tomb that all of a sudden he believes what's going on. But here's what's interesting. It says in the very next verse, for as yet they did not know the Scriptures. They did not know the Scriptures. I find that amazing. For 3 years, Jesus had been with them for 3 years. And if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that Jesus had been quoting the Scriptures for 3 years. Jesus had even said in the synagogue, this Scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And so, for 3 years, they've been hearing about him in the Scriptures. And yet, they did not know the Scriptures. Well, as we continue in chapter 20, then the disciples are asking Mary, says, why are you weeping? And she says, again, I do not know where they have laid him. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appears. And Jesus is asking her in verse 15, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And she thinks that he's the gardener. Not me, I'm a gardener, wrong guy, okay? But she thinks he's the gardener, and she says, sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus then responds to her and says, Mary! And all of a sudden the lights come on. And she cries out, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Well, as we continue on in chapter 20, Jesus then is still talking to her and telling her not to cling to him, that he still needs to go and ascend to the Father. But he instructs her then to go and to tell the rest of the brethren that he is risen. So we have Mary Magdalene, and she comes and tells the disciples. And again, we have mentioned it's on the first day of the week. So we see again the significance of the first day of the week. So as we continue on, Jesus there in their midst, he says, "Peace be with you." He then shows them the nail prints in his hands and his side, confirming that he is a risen Christ. What's interesting is when you go to Luke chapter 24, verse 10, Luke addresses this situation. He says, "Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women were with them, who told these things to the apostles." Now, this is interesting. Jesus has been with them for 3 years. He's been talking about this thing all the time. And now we have eyewitnesses. They're telling the apostles, and what do they say? They said, and the words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe. Amazing. Well, we go back to chapter 20, and now we see Jesus coming in again saying, "Peace be with you." He's with his disciples. He's talking to them. Thomas, remember I told you to remember Thomas, the big bold guy, says, "Let's go. We're going to go die with them." So here's Thomas, and the disciples are telling him about Jesus. And look what he says in verse 25. He says, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." What? A while ago you said you're going to go die with Lazarus. And now all of a sudden you're not even believing the risen Savior, eyewitnesses to the fact, the women, his own disciples, fellow brethren, and he does not believe. Well, as we continue on, 8 days later, there they are, they're all together, and Jesus comes into their midst, and he says to Thomas, "Do not be unbelieving, but believe." I can just imagine Thomas just melting right there in front of his disciples, in front of his Lord and his God. I imagine he was probably stammering and stuttering a little bit, saying, "My Lord, my God." And then Jesus says to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Because you have seen me, you have believed." But the powerful point that he makes here, he says in the very next sentence, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I have not seen Jesus. I never saw his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. None of you have seen that. But I believe, as we're going to read, what is written. I am standing before you as a evangelist. I do this 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I do it because I believe. If I did not believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, I would get me a more lucrative job. I would become a politician. But I am what I am because I believe in the resurrected Christ. And he says, many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe. The things that are written is that we would believe. There are many other signs in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in John that are not written. But there is sufficient things written that we can believe. And he says, what can we believe? That we can believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is our Savior. and that you can believe that He is the Son of God, and that believing that you may have life in His name. The question is to you today, do you do like those in Christendom and like some of these folks we've been reading about? Do you know the story about Jesus? Or like He said to Martha and to Mary and the rest of them, do you believe this? How many times do I have to tell you? Do I have to keep repeating myself? If I've told you once, I've told you 100 times. I am the resurrection and I am the life. Do you believe this? Do you believe in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, where it says that the gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection? Do you believe this? How many times do I have to tell you? And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 and following, it says, the Lord is coming with His mighty angels in flaming fire to take vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel. I know who God is. And I know what the gospel is, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Do you believe this? Because if you believe this, He says that you can have life. But if you do not believe this, He says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Do you believe this? When He says you will be punished with everlasting destruction, He's talking about that place of hell, that place of outer darkness, that place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. A place of terrible. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to talk about it. And that's not the worst of it. And you say, that's not the worst of it? No. Because He goes on and says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. To be separated from a loving Savior for all eternity is not acceptable. It's not an option. Do you believe this? Well, we're going to have an invitation song, so if you want to come forward, Jordan, and lead us in that song. And those of you who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that believe that He is the resurrected Christ, and want to go down at that watery grave, want to go down in that watery grave and come in contact with the blood that takes away your sins, bury that old man of sin, telling the audience and God that you no longer want to be a sinner, but you want to walk the walk and talk the talk. And as God, by His glory, raised Jesus Christ, He will raise you to a newness of life as we stand and as we sing.